I raise an eyebrow, ready to dig the hole I've already dug a little deeper. So, you firing him or me? 'Cause other than that, I don't know how I'm not supposed to see him. Care to explain, Daddy? My father slides a hand down his face before his fingers crumple into a fist near his chin.
Did the bullets scramble your brains or some shit?
Nope. I shake my head. I'm seeing clearer than I have in a long time.
The way your mouth is talking, I'd say you're still in shock.
Not in shock. I'm feeling more alive than ever. So, who's leaving?
Izzy won't fire him. You're not going anywhere. You two can work together without dating.
Okay. I nod, thinking over my next words carefully. So, the guy who was just ready to take a bullet for me, the guy who put his body in the way, hiding me so he'd die instead of me. I close my eyes, remembering the way my body shook when the door to Pike's room opened, and I didn't know which person had died. I'm just supposed to tell him to kick rocks, because my father, who's also his boss, doesn't want me to see him again. I open my eyes and roll them, because I know it'll piss off my dad something fierce. Hey, Pike, thanks for almost dying for me and being willing to throw yourself in front of a bullet, but my father doesn't think you're good enough.
I didn't say he wasn't a good person.
I cross my arms again, lifting one shoulder, staring my father straight in the eye. Just not good enough for me, right? My father's entire face scrunches up like he's about to shit a brick, and it's painful as fuck.
His life is dangerous, Gigi. Look at all the shit you've been through in a couple days of him being in your life.
It's not trouble he brought to his door. It was his father's fault. And if it weren't for the men in Pike's past, he'd probably be dead, and maybe me too. I pause, and our eyes are locked in a silent tug of war. But I don't give him a chance to talk, because I'm not done making my point. Didn't something happen to Mom when you two were dating? Wasn't she almost...
It was different,
he says quickly. Shit happens, Dad. Life happens. No matter how hard you try to protect someone, you can't stop the bad from getting through all the time. Pike's innocent in this. And the decision of if we're going to see each other again falls to Pike and me. And frankly, I swallow, because if he hasn't leaped over the seat yet, my next words may be the nail in the coffin. It's none of your business. He blinks like I've slapped him, and his mouth moves, but nothing comes out. I'm not trying to be mean, and if I am, I'm sorry. But imagine if Grandma or Grandpa said you couldn't see Mom anymore.
I love your mother.
Maybe I love Pike. My father laughs.
You just met the kid.
How long after you met Mom did you know you had feelings for her? Real feelings.
Well.
He looks at Bear, because Bear was there in the beginning, and I have zero doubt he'll call my dad on his shit if he tries to lie.
Honestly, I don't remember a time when I didn't love your mom.
Then why does it matter that I just met him? I use air quotes on the last three words because we both know I didn't just meet him, but I have had 15 months to think about him and the way he makes me feel. He pauses, staring at me like he doesn't know what to say and hates to tell me I'm right. The man would have died for me tonight, Daddy. How many guys would do that? Let me tell you, not many. Guys my age are a bunch of pansy asses who cry when they get a paper cut. Chivalry is fucking dead. Pike would have taken that bullet and died with a smile on his face, knowing I was going to live to breathe another day. He says again, but I don't let him finish before I go on, because I have shit to get off my chest. Here's this guy, with a mother who's dead because his father is an asshole. The same father who treated him like shit as a little kid and a mother who wasn't much better. For growing up the way he did, he turned out to be a freaking great guy. He's envious of me, you know. He sees how close we all are, how much we love each other, and he knows exactly what he missed out on growing up, and even now. So whatever misconceived notions you have about Pike, you may as well forget them all until you get to know the real man underneath.
She is kind of telling you how it is, City.
Bear glances at him with a slight shrug.
Pike's not too far off from the man you were at that age. You had a good family behind you, but you weren't a choir boy.
My father glares at Bear.
You're not helping. Whose side are you on? Don't ask me to pick a side, because I'll always pick the girl.
My smile's so big, my cheeks hurt. This is why I love my Uncle Bear. He can totally call my dad out on his shit, reminding him of the man he is and used to be. It doesn't hurt that he's always willing to have my back. Always. It doesn't matter that we're not blood. He's been in my life since the day I was born and is just as much my uncle as any of my father's brothers.
It's a fucking conspiracy,
my father mutters, turning around to face the windshield. Just give him a chance, Dad. Give me a chance to live my own life and find my own happiness.
I don't like it.
I never asked if you did.
Chapter 24. Pike. 3 large black coffees. Would you like sugar, sir?
I said black. James barks out the driver's window, arms slung over the door, looking chill as fuck, but sounding like he's wound so tight he could break at any moment.
Black means no cream, but it doesn't mean no sugar,
the woman on the other end of the drive-thru tries to explain, but James is in no mood. No cream, no sugar, just coffee.
Iced or hot?
She asks. James looks at Thomas like he can't get over this shit, and Thomas laughs at James's misery. Hot! He growls out the window, practically foaming at the mouth.
Please pull around, sir.
What the fuck happened to ordering a simple cup of coffee? Thomas shrugs.
Life's moving fast, old man.
Get the fuck out of here with that old man's shit. Thomas glances down, staring at his phone.
Well, this should get interesting.
What? James asks as he inches the car forward in the long line.
Mom's requiring Pike to be at today's family dinner.
She what? I ask, shocked and a little scared. Joe isn't going to be happy about that, James states the fucking obvious. From the moment our eyes met at the compound, I knew Joe hated me now. I'm not even sure hate is a strong enough word for all the things he's feeling toward me. I can't blame the guy. I'd fucking hate me too.
I'd give my left nut to be in that car with them,
Thomas laughs.
Gigi's more like Izzy than Susie. She's probably reading him the riot act.
Maybe one of them isn't going to make it back alive, James jokes, sliding up to the drive-thru window, trying not to make eye contact with the lady behind the voice. Seconds later, Thomas's phone rings, and Joe's voice comes through the car speakers.
Do you believe this shit?
You know Ma.
Why on God's green earth would she want him there?
James turns to me, shrugging and rolling his eyes, while the guys talk about me like I'm not overhearing the entire conversation.
You know, Ma is always the peacemaker and sticks her nose in everyone's business.
This is my kid, Joe says.
And you're her kid, Thomas reminds him. I think that trumps your thinking.
Does she realize Gigi could have died?
I'm sure she does. Our wives told her everything, Joe, James tells him, and I know there are no secrets left in this family. You know they can't keep a secret, and Ma could pull the truth out of anyone, especially them.
Fuck, Joe hisses. Drop Pike off at my house, and he can ride with us.
Do I get a say in this? I ask from the back seat, wishing I could get out and run, but it's impossible without a door in the back of this Challenger. Thomas turns, glaring at me to shut the fuck up, but without actually saying the words. He doesn't need to, either. I get the message loud and clear.
We'll drop him off and go. We'll only have a few hours to sleep before we have to be there, James says. She doesn't care that we've crossed the state and come back in the same day.
You know how she is. There's never a good reason to cancel a dinner. Bullets, near-death experiences. Hell, not even a hurricane would stop her,
Thomas tells them. I tip my head back, staring out the back window at the sky painted with pinks and purples as the sun starts to rise over the horizon. All I want to do is talk to Gigi and crawl into bed, leaving all the bad shit behind. But I have a feeling I don't get a choice in whether I attend family dinner since the big men in the front seat aren't finding a reason I can't go. The fact that Joe wants me at his house and is going to drive me there himself seals the deal. We're grabbing a quick cup of coffee, but we'll be at your place a few minutes after you, James says, handing the money over to the woman. I'll be there waiting, Joe says, before disconnecting the call.
Well, that wasn't so bad,
Thomas says, turning his head to stare at me as I lift mine, forgetting the beautiful sunrise because although that wasn't so bad, it wasn't good either. I laugh. So bad, I'm pretty sure the man wants to kill me.
Here's your hot and black coffees,
the woman says, holding three cups in her hands, waiting for James to take them. He hands one to me, then to Thomas, and takes the final one for himself. He doesn't say anything else to the woman. He's had a shit night like the rest of us and doesn't want to get into another argument over something as simple as a cup of coffee. That man, James says, placing his coffee in the cup holder before he rolls the car forward, is a devoted father. He'd lay down his life for his family, just like we would in his shoes. I would have taken a bullet tonight to save Gigi. We know that, kid. Hell, even Joe knows that. He knows everything that went down at the compound, trust me. He's thankful that you helped get her out of there alive. But the man's out of his mind right now. Joe doesn't scare easily, but he's been a raving lunatic the last few days. He'll come around. Just give him some time and space to let him get his head on straight. I rest the styrofoam on my knee, letting his words settle deep. Then maybe you should just drop me off at my place. Give everyone some space without me around, crowding shit. Thomas shakes his head.
Ma wants you at her house. You'll be at her house.
I close my eyes, trying to picture the mother of these rough and tough men. She must be a powerful force if, even at their age, she's still the boss.
And if Joe walks around there all broody and moody, she'll set his ass straight if she likes you.
Why don't you two hate me? I ask, lifting my head and prying the lid off the coffee. Thomas laughs and shakes his head.
We've been in shit just as big as you were last night. You didn't cause what came at you, but we played a role in the hell we brought to our door. Our women were almost casualties, too. We know how things easily spin out of control. That's life, kid.
Hell, Izzy's been knee-deep in our bullshit so many times, James says, gunning the engine as soon as he's on the highway with nothing but open road before us. But that was shit we brought on ourselves, or she put into motion. Life happens. Shit happens. We rolled with it, and so did you. The family, including Joe, will get over what happened. And if you're lucky, they'll welcome you into the fold if that's what you're looking for. I want Gigi in my life. I figured I'd lay shit out for her uncles since they are here and I'm not going anywhere. She's the best thing to ever happen to me, but the family... I pause, wondering how to explain the shit I've been through and the lack of familial support I'd grown up with. That isn't something I'm used to dealing with. I didn't grow up Gallo, James says, looking at me in the rearview mirror for a moment. But they treat me as if I did. From the moment I stepped foot in her mother's house, I was welcomed as part of the family. Doesn't matter how you were raised, kid. Once you're in, you are one of them. One of us. Win over Ma Gallo and Susie too, and you are in the fold. Gigi's mother is going to hate me. I'm never the guy a girl brings home to meet her mother. Thomas laughs, smacking his leg.
You're just like Joe, and Susie's crazy about that, man. Susie may seem straight-laced, but don't let her fool you. She'll take to you like glue if she sees her daughter's happy. You'll remind her of the man she fell in love with, the guy with the chip on his shoulder who's head over heels for a girl.
All of this is out of my comfort zone and territory I haven't ridden through before. I've never dealt with an entire family. I never gave a shit if people liked me, especially not a woman's parents. But this is different. I have to win over countless people, starting with her mother and then her grandmother, before I could get everyone on board. You looked death in the eye last night and came out alive, James says. Facing our family will seem like a cakewalk. Yeah, I mutter, staring into the blackness of the coffee, not believing a goddamn word. Sure, I was scared when the gunfight was going on and the door to my old room opened, but I knew how to respond. Family isn't something I'm used to. Just relax, we'll be at Joe's soon. Oh, goody, I mumble and sip my coffee. Thomas and James laugh, clearly getting a kick out of my misery and knowing full well shit isn't going to be as easy as they make it out to be. An hour later, I'm climbing out of the back of James's car, and I catch sight of Gigi on the front porch, hugging a blonde woman tightly. I assume it's her mother, because that's the only thing that makes sense, but there's very little resemblance between the two. Joe's next to them, glaring at me like I'm the enemy, and not over the shit that went down or the fact that he probably knows everything about what happened between Gigi and me in Daytona. Well, not everything, because I'd be a dead man, but he knows enough that he has to want to at least break my legs.
Pike!
Gigi yells as soon as she sees me. She moves away from her mother, running down the front steps, across the driveway, and leaps into my arms.
I was so worried about you.
She holds me tightly, locking her hands behind my neck and staring up at me.
I thought maybe my uncles would leave you somewhere on the side of the road.
I'm fine, darling. I push the hair away from her eyes, needing to see her face. Your uncles were nice. I didn't say they were friendly, because under the circumstances it wasn't like hanging out with my buddies, but they weren't assholes either. They laid shit out for me, telling me how it is and how to get in everyone's good graces. She smiles up at me.
They were nice?
I nod. They weren't mean.
Huh, that's shocking.
Her smile widens.
I want you to meet my mother.
I'm sure she hates me, Gigi. Maybe I should just go back to my place. Gigi shakes her head, tightening her hold around me.
Not happening, big guy. My mother is a cream puff. She's going to go bananas for you.
Bananas?
Yeah.
She smiles again, but bigger this time.
My mom is sweet where my dad's rough. She's going to love you as much as I do.
I glance toward her parents. They're in a heated conversation. Her mother's eyes are on me, but her father's only paying attention to his woman. She slaps Joe's chest, eyes raking over me as a smile spreads across her face. She looks harmless, a mess of blonde hair, fair skin, and a tiny little figure. Gigi gets her size from her mother, but everything else about her is all her daddy. I want to kiss you so badly right now. I rest my forehead on hers, trying to control myself because her father could very well end me right here.
We'll sneak away once things settle down. Maybe at my grandmother's, we'll go for a walk or something. But for now, my mother's waiting, and I think her patience has just about worn out.
Lead the way, darling. She releases her grip on me and grabs my hand, pulling me toward the front porch as soon as her feet touch the ground. Joe ticks his chin toward Thomas and James before James peels out of the driveway like his ass is on fire. Susie, Gigi's mother, doesn't even glance toward the noise. Her eyes are locked on me, soaking me in, probably thinking the worst.
So you're Pike,
she says with a small smile. Ma'am, I reply, squeezing Gigi's hand because this is almost as terrifying as the gun pointed at my head. Her mother comes down the stairs, meeting us at the bottom.
Thank you for keeping my baby safe.
You're welcome. I nod, because I don't know what else to say, and I wasn't expecting those words or her kindness.
Now, don't freak out. I know you're a badass biker and all, but this mama bear wants to give you a hug.
Gigi snorts as her father starts cursing.
Told ya,
Gigi says, describing her mother perfectly.
Hush it.
Susie tells her and holds out her arms for me. I pause, gazing down at my girl, but she's smiling and jerking her chin toward her mama.
You better do what she says. She isn't as sweet as she seems, especially if you don't do what she asks.
Seems to be a theme in this family. I let go of Gigi's hand and move into her mother's waiting arms. Susie's hug isn't soft. Her hold is pretty damn firm, especially for her size.
I can hear you two.
Susie says with a small chuckle.
I can also understand why my daughter likes you.
Susie pulls back, gazing up at me, eyes sweeping across my face.
You're just like her daddy.
My eyes go to Joe, who's now pacing on the porch, brooding about the fact that I'm being welcomed and still looking like he's ready to leap over the railing and murder me at any moment. I don't know about that. Susie takes a step back, hands still on my arms, gazing up at me.
Sweetie, if you don't see the similarities between you and her daddy, you must be blind. Her first love was her father, and now my baby has found a man who's the spitting image of him.
Joe's eyes are on me as she speaks, and his cursing gets louder.
Don't mind him. He has a lot of trouble dealing with his children growing up and sprouting wings.
I do not. Joe stalks down the stairs, heading right toward us. I have a problem with my daughter falling for a guy who's...
Exactly like you.
Susie interrupts him. Joe grunts. I wouldn't go that far, sugar.
He's a biker, has tattoos, piercings too. Probably a lady killer with a chip on his shoulder and bossy as all hell. Yep.
Gigi smiles.
So tell me, dear husband, how are you two different?
Susie crosses her arms in front of her chest, staring at her husband, waiting for his response. Joe waves his hand in my direction, and his eyebrows draw down. He's...
What?
Susie taps her foot, looking a little annoyed at this point, and the sweetness has all but disappeared. Shorter, Joe shrugs. Susie grabs his arm, plastering her body against his.
That's the best you can come up with, sweetheart.
Sugar. Susie shakes her head.
Whatever you're feeling right now doesn't matter. Look at your daughter.
She tips her head toward Gigi.
She's happy, Joe.
Well, Joe's eyes go to his daughter, then to me before going back to his wife. I won't say I'm happy about any of this.
Would you ever be happy with any man she'd bring home? I remember you didn't like the other two either.
They were spineless shits, he says quickly.
And Pike is not.
He's just so...
Like you,
Susie says with a smile, winking at her husband. Gigi chuckles at my side, tangling her fingers with mine as she tugs me toward the front door, leaving her parents standing at the bottom of the steps.
We're going in. We've had a long night and could use a nap before Grandma's.
Pike can take the couch in my office, separate rooms, Joe says. If you want Pike to live another day.
You're cute, Dad.
Gigi laughs as we walk into the house.
Don't listen to him,
she tells me.
He's a bit overdramatic.
But he's right, and this is his house, darling. If he wants my ass to sleep on the porch, that's where I'll sleep. We're under his roof, and he gets to set the rules.
Fine,
she rolls her eyes.
I'll show you where his office is.
Thank you. Now, tell me about your grandma. I've had enough surprises this week to last me a lifetime. Gigi nods her head down a hallway, and I follow her as she starts to walk.
She's fierce.
Great. I mutter, because the fierceness in this family has already been off the charts.
She's tough, too.
Even better.
But...
Gigi stops outside a closed door and leans against the wall, tangling her fingers with mine.
If you win her over, you have an ally for life. It doesn't hurt that she's the boss of everyone, including her sons.
So you're saying I have to win her heart?
You have to win her mind.
Gigi smiles. I've got this one in the bag. Winning over the ladies has never been a problem. I'm sure another fierce and tough Gallo won't be too hard. Chapter 25. Pike. With the way Gigi described her grandma, and based on the size of her children, I expected the woman to be tall, sizable, and downright scary.
Baby, I was so worried about you.
Her grandmother says, wrapping her arms around Gigi and squeezing her tightly.
I'm fine, Nonna. Pike made sure of it.
Gigi's already working the woman, trying to put in a good word for me because, like she said, she's the boss. The ride over here was tense. I sat in the back of the SUV with Gigi, getting an icy glare from Joe in the rearview mirror as her two sisters chatted in the seats between us. Her grandmother's eyes are on me as she embraces her granddaughter in the driveway.
This is the boy I've been hearing about.
Gigi pulls away, glancing over her shoulder at me, a smile on her lips.
Yep, but don't believe anything he...
She dips her head toward her father, who's stalking by and ignoring us all.
Says. You know how Daddy has a tendency to fly off the handle and overreact.
Her grandmother laughs with a slow shake of her head.
He's just worried about you, and sometimes his emotions get the better of him. Cut him some slack, sweetheart. Your daddy will come around, but you have to give him some time to adjust to the reality that you're no longer a little girl, but this beautiful and confident woman who's standing here today.
I smile because I already like this woman. She gives sound advice, and it doesn't sound like there's an ounce of judgment in her voice.
I guess.
Gigi shrugs and steps to the side, turning toward me.
But he should have come to this realization the day I graduated from high school.
I haven't moved a step. I'm too engrossed in their conversation, the way they look at each other and like each other. One taller and younger, one shorter and older, but of the same blood with the same eyes and mannerisms.
You never stop being a parent, Giovanna. There's no off switch once your children sprout their wings and fly away from the nest. We always worry, always want the best for them. When they hurt, so do we. He's just doing what he thinks is best for you, even if he may be totally off base. Forcing something on him that he's not ready to face won't make changing his heart and mind any easier. Just give him time and he'll come around and see the light. What's your mother say?
I turn toward the SUV where Gigi's mother is on bended knee, speaking with the two younger girls. I can't imagine what it had to be like growing up a Gallo. Sure, they were all up in each other's business, which could be annoying, but there is so much love between them that the good had to outweigh the bad. Gigi sighs.
Mom seems to be cool about Pike. She says he's the spitting image of Daddy.
I catch her grandmother's eye as she laughs.
Oh, that had to go over big with your father. Can you talk to him for me?
Gigi begs.
Please, you're the only one who can talk sense into him sometimes.
The woman's laughter grows louder.
Child, when it comes to a man loving his children, there's no talking sense into him. You have to give him time and make him see the light.
Her grandmother's eyes rake up and down my body before landing back on my face.
So you're the one causing all the fuss?
Ma'am, I dip my head, giving her a playful smile because my lady killer's smirk doesn't feel right. I've heard so many great things about you.
All lies, I'm sure.
She waves her hand through the air and steps closer, squinting up at me as she cranes her neck.
Well, aren't you a looker?
A smile on my face only gets bigger, because Grandma may be old, but she's a tiger. You aren't so bad looking yourself. I throw her a wink.
And a charmer.
She laughs.
You've caused quite a commotion in a family that's seen serenity for a long time.
I'm sorry. My voice goes up as I speak, making it seem like I'm asking a question when I'm making a statement.
Don't be.
She shakes her head.
You're both alive and well. Life has a way of reminding everyone of the preciousness of everything. Sometimes we need to have things shaken up a little to bring everything back into focus. Now, let me get a better look at you.
She lifts her hands and wiggles her fingers. Gigi ticks her head toward her grandmother, widening her eyes when I don't move right away. I take a few steps, closing the space between us as the woman stares up at me like she's trying to see something that isn't there.
Quite handsome,
she says, and she takes me by surprise when she wraps her arms around me, embracing me like she did Gigi.
Strong, too.
I laugh, biting my lip to stop myself from saying something inappropriate. Thank you. Again, the words come out like a question as the woman's hands splay across my back.
Hush, child, let an old woman enjoy herself for a minute.
Gigi shrugs, throwing her hands upward as she giggles silently behind her grandmother.
Oh boy,
Susie walks by us with her two daughters in tow, taking in the hug.
Welcome to the lion's den, Pike. I hope you're ready for what you're about to walk into,
she calls out, not bothering to look back at us. My body stiffens at her words. I've never met anyone's family, especially not all at once. I knew half the people inside, already working with them for a few days, or riding with them back and forth from the disciples' compound. But there were a few who were still a mystery to me. I've had the gallows in small doses, but this is going to be supersized and in my face.
Don't listen to her. We're as good as they come. Now, wrap your arms around me and give Grandma a hug.
All the worry I have vanishes, and it's replaced by the goodness of the woman wrapped around me and her granddaughter, who is beaming at me like I walk on water. I do as I'm told, holding the woman tightly in my arms.
Much better. Now,
the woman whispers near my ear,
I'll give my blessing because I see depth in those eyes, but if you hurt my granddaughter, you won't have to worry about her father, Pike. I'll find you first and make you wish you'd never been born.
There's the fierceness I'd been warned about, the toughness I'd been told to expect. Yes, ma'am.
Grandma,
she tells me like I'm already one of the family. Grandma, I repeat, glancing down and taking in her beauty, wondering what she looked like when she was younger. Is Gigi the spitting image of the hellion in my arms?
Now my sauce needs stirring, and there are more than a few curious women inside looking forward to laying eyes on you.
She takes a step back and puts her hands on my chest, groping me through my t-shirt.
They're excited, while their husbands are not.
I tip my head back, drawing in a breath. You're really selling me on walking through that door. The woman laughs.
What lies on the other side of that door is all the goodness I brought into my life. I created it, not alone, mind you, and there's no better group of people on this earth. Once you're in forever. See this chip?
She touches my shoulder, drawing my attention downward.
Don't let it falter, but keep that shit in check and mind your elders.
I know my place, ma'am. Her eyes narrow, and I immediately know my mistake. Grandma.
Not such a quick learner, but you'll get there.
She teases and takes a step back.
I heard you almost took a bullet for my granddaughter.
He was willing to die for me, Nona.
Gigi steps forward and tucks herself under my arm. I was only doing what was right, darling. Her grandmother smiles at her, eyes moving between us, taking us in as a couple.
My granddaughter needs someone who's strong, both in mind and body. She's not a weakling and will never be controlled, but if a man's willing to take a bullet for her, just like her daddy would under the same circumstances, she's not going to let that pass without snapping up the goodness and keeping it close.
It's not like that, Grandma. I liked Pike before this all happened.
I glance down, eyes wide, because I don't want to talk to her grandmother about our time in Daytona. I didn't want anyone to know, but it seems there are very few secrets in this family.
I've heard all about spring break. I remember your Aunt Lizzie causing some chaos there a while back. Trouble seems to run in our blood, along with our affinity for badass, bossy men.
Well, there it is. Grandma knows all about everything and everyone.
Now, if we don't get our asses inside, the sauce will burn, and you know how much Grandpa hates when his meal is shot to hell. We wouldn't want your Aunt Fran fixing the meal in my absence, would we?
Gigi looks up at me.
Aunt Fran is Bear's wife, and she's not the best cook.
Grandma starts toward the door, and we follow.
You're being nice. She's the world's worst cook, but she has a good heart and a nosy spirit about her.
When the front door opens, there are so many eyes on me, I almost trip over the top step. There's not a man in the bunch. Four women I've never seen before are gawking at me like I'm an exotic animal on display and only there for their amusement. The grandmother laughs, shaking her head as she walks past them, disappearing into the back of the house. Gigi grips my side, still tucked under my arm.
Pike, this is my Aunt Max.
She points at a very beautiful, tall, and lanky black woman.
She's Uncle Anthony's wife.
Girl, get it straight. He's my husband.
Max corrects her and takes a step toward us, staring up at me.
You're causing a lot of trouble around here.
I never meant to. Max waves me off.
Don't say it. It's been far too quiet around here for far too long. We needed a little excitement.
Then she turns her eyes toward her niece.
You did well with this one.
She angles her head at me, talking like I'm not standing right in front of them.
I can't wait to see your dad lose his shit.
Great. Not only am I here to be gawked at, but they're all banking on me pissing off her father for nothing more than sheer entertainment. The last thing I want to do is make Joe mad. It doesn't mean I'm going anywhere, but I don't want the man gunning for me my entire life.
He already lost it, Auntie.
The two women laugh. My gaze moves to the three ladies still staring at me, covering their mouths and whispering to one another. I catch a few words here and there. The only words I can make out are, fresh meat.
Your daddy was the biggest badass I knew, sweetheart, but his heart is even bigger. Give him time, he'll come around.
Gigi rolls her eyes.
I don't think you understand the depths of his love,
Max finishes her statement.
He's not angry, Gigi. He's mourning the loss of his baby. I can understand how he feels. Every day I see the misery in Anthony's eyes as Tamara grows up and pulls away.
Gigi gasps.
Oh my god, where's Tam? I haven't talked to her since before all hell broke loose.
So, this is Tamara's mother. The cousin Gigi had gone to Daytona with after lying to their parents, and the same Tamara Gigi had a conversation with on the phone about my cock.
She's in hiding, Max laughs. Anthony knows about Daytona.
Gigi's eyes widen.
I'm sorry we lied.
Max shrugs.
You two were just blowing off steam, but I wish you'd been honest about where you were going and what you were doing. Dad and Uncle Anthony wouldn't have let us go. You're a grown-ass woman, Giovanna. Your fathers can't tell you how to live your lives forever. Then why's Tamara hiding from her dad?
Max laughs.
I didn't raise a stupid child. A strong one, for sure, but not stupid.
Enough chit-chat,
a small, older woman says, pushing by Max and getting the evil eye.
I need to get my hands on this boy.
Auntie Fran, go easy on him,
Gigi says as the woman plasters her body against me, resting her head on my chest.
Shh, don't ruin this for me, girl. When you're my age, there are very few thrills left in life.
I stare down at the woman, stand still as she feels me up like she's blind and trying to figure out the dips and curves, memorizing my body.
Bear's wife.
Gigi shrugs because Fran isn't stopping the attention she's given to my muscles.
Don't ruin this for me,
Fran says again, her fingers digging into my pecs.
God, to be young again.
I laugh because what the fuck else am I supposed to do with this small older woman hanging on my body? Talk about awkward. But then there's been no real normal around me in days. This is just another experience with this family, and I can't say it's a bad one either.
If I were 10 years younger,
he'd break you, Fran,
a redhead says from behind her, and all the women giggle. Fran's hands move to my arms, holding tight and squeezing until her fingernails practically dig into my skin.
No, he wouldn't. I have the biggest baddie of them all, and I'd say I broke him.
She nuzzles her face deeper into my chest.
I think I could handle this, kid.
I hold out my arms. I'm not going to hug the woman draped across me like I'm a blanket and she's in need of heat. I'm already treading in deep water, and any movement, even if it's innocent, could send me spiraling to the depths on my ass. When Fran doesn't unstick herself, Gigi starts talking, ignoring my new body ornament. She points toward the pretty redhead.
This is my Aunt Angel. She's Thomas's wife.
It's nice to meet you,
she says with a friendly smile. You too. I smile back, wishing I could at least shake her hand, but there's Fran. She moves her hand toward a beautiful woman with long, wavy brown hair and big, beautiful eyes.
This is Mia.
Gigi steps closer, looming over Fran, but having zero effect.
She's a doctor and my Uncle Mike's wife.
I'm impressed. Mike doesn't seem like the type of guy who'd marry a doctor. I'd read all about him, knew about his career as a fighter before giving it all up for love. Looking at her, I can understand why you walked away from the ring. It's a pleasure to meet you. I tip my head because it's all I can do with Fran still twisted around me like I'm her new favorite accessory. Gigi's grandmother appears in the hallway, shaking her head as soon as she sees Fran.
Give the boy some space, ladies. He's not here for your entertainment, especially you, Fran.
I'm not moving,
Fran says, latching on tighter. And I wonder if I'm going to have to pry the woman off my body.
Fran!
My gaze moves across the room to Bear, who's staring at Fran, arms crossed over his chest and jaw set tight.
You have 30 seconds to let that boy go, or...
Fran doesn't budge, and she doesn't even look in his direction.
Or you'll what?
She looks up at me with a playful smirk and a quick wink, looking like she's loving every minute of hanging on me and antagonizing the big guy.
You're not going to be able to sit comfortably for a week.
You promise?
She teases, finally turning her head away from my body.
Woman, you have 10 seconds to let go of that boy and get your ass over here.
He's such a big talker,
she says, looking up at me and not paying any more attention to her husband.
He's all bark and no bite.
You want teeth, baby?
She continues to ignore him.
I should really trade him in for a newer model.
She barely gets the words out before his arm is around her waist and then her body's in the air, landing on his shoulder.
Woman, I think you need me to remind you of who this fine ass,
he says with a smack right on her behind for everyone to see,
belongs to.
The move reminds me of the way I hauled Gigi out of the bar area at the compound in front of all the guys. I gave zero fucks if I pissed her off, but I had a hell of a time doing it, just like Bear is having while Fran grabs at his ass like a woman starved for cock.
Sorry about that,
Gigi says.
Fran can be,
No worries, I think she's great. Everyone is so far.
Well, you know my uncles, but let's see how they are after all the shit that went down. You ready to face them?
I nod, but I want to say hell to the fucking no, I'm not ready. The ladies are always easier. The men, not so much. This group of moody and broody guys knows all about my past, the last week, and that I slept with their niece. I'm ready.
Chapter 26. Gigi. That wasn't so bad, was it? I ask Pike as we walk toward the line of trees in the backyard.
Compared to what?
He looks over his shoulder like he's checking to see if anyone is following us. It could have been worse. I shrug, gazing up and into his beautiful blue-green eyes.
There's still time.
I wave him off because if they were going to cause a scene, they would have done it already. They like to put on a big show, but they're all pussycats. 10 years ago, they maybe would have chased Pike out of here, but they've become more chill with age. Plus, they know the harder they try to drive him away, the more I'll run toward him.
Why don't you say that to their faces?
I curl my fingers around his hand as he brushes some hair away from my shoulder. Do you like them, at least?
Who? Your family?
I nod.
They're like a small army. But yeah, you were a lucky kid to have so many people surrounding you as you grew up. I never had anyone except my grandmother who I could count on, and who gave a shit about me.
I care about you now. I curl into his side as we stand in the shade and out of view of all the nosy gallows who are probably plastered to the back windows trying to keep an eye on us. He pulls our hands in front of us as his face grows serious.
Now that everything's over, I wouldn't blame you if you want to go back to the way things were.
The way things were? I ask, confused and a little dumbfounded.
Yeah,
he says, like we're talking about the weather and not about us.
We went through some scary, heavy shit together. We didn't know if we were going to make it another day, and sometimes that affects how we think. Now that we're alive and no one's coming after us, maybe we should take a step back and make sure this is what we both want.
I jerk my head like he physically struck me. You want to break up? I take a step back, tearing my hands from his. You're saying that shit now? You've met my family, saved my life, and were willing to take a bullet for me, and now you're saying you want to break up and not be together anymore? Pike steps forward, reaching for me, but I move quickly, evading his touch.
I didn't mean it that way. Be reasonable, Gigi. Think about it.
My eyes widen. Be reasonable?
Yeah.
I can't believe after everything we've been through, you're saying this shit to me now.
I don't regret anything. I would still take a bullet for you, or do anything necessary to keep you safe.
I fold my arms in front of me, cocking one shoulder upward and raising an eyebrow. But now that the bad shit is past, you don't want to date me?
I don't want you to have any regrets,
he says softly, closing the space between us. But I don't allow him near enough to touch me.
You're young. You have your whole life ahead of you. You have a perfect family who wants only good shit for you. What the hell do you want with an older guy who has baggage and commitment issues?
You have commitment issues?
Darling, I never stay in one place longer than a few years. My parents fucked me up. I'm always searching for something bigger and better, looking for that place I can call home and find out where I belong. I've been traveling around for almost 10 years, and I still haven't found it.
I wave my arms around, trying my best not to sock him straight in the jaw. What the fuck was this last week? My hand flies toward the house. You just spent an hour charming my family, building the foundation that's necessary to be welcomed into the fold. Now you're saying you don't have a place, and you want to up and run away like a pussy?
I'm not being a pussy, Gigi. I'm giving you a chance to think about if this is what you want. The shit we went through the last few days can fuck with your head and make it hard to think. We were living in the moment, hoping to have more, but now it's over. Shit's gonna settle, and I don't want you to look back and regret the time you spent with me before you up and marry some guy worthy of you.
I scrunch my nose, because compared to any pile of horseshit I've ever smelled before, this was far worse. You've gotta be shitting me right now. Why the fuck did you come here if you felt this way?
It's not like I had any choice in this.
He yells back, throwing his hand towards my grandmother's house.
But I like you, Gigi. Hell, I love you. I'm truly, madly, deeply in fucking love with you. And I don't want to be another mistake in your life. You deserve more than a guy who's good at ink with a fucked up family and not much to offer other than how I feel.
I inhale and slowly exhale, letting all his words seep in. I know this man loves me. He said those words before. Sure, we were probably about to die, but the possibility of not taking another breath doesn't make a man say shit he isn't feeling. Have I ever asked you for anything?
No,
he says. Have I ever forced you to do anything you didn't want to do?
No.
Ever asked you about your bank account and what you could bring to our relationship besides yourself?
No.
You're right, Pike. I'm a lucky girl to be surrounded by all this. I tick my head toward my grandparents' house. But I could give two shits about money or anything else. My parents taught me about the real important things in life. They taught me about loyalty, love, and most of all, family. I don't care if I'm piss poor, as long as I have someone with me who will love me and do everything in his power to keep on loving me. He tips his head back, staring up at the trees.
I'm not a saint. When I look at you,
he glances back down at me.
I see everything that's pure. I see an untouched soul who's had a life of good. And in the short time I've known you, I've brought you a whole lot of bad. I don't want that for you. I don't want you to have a moment's sadness in your life. I never want to see the look on your face I saw the night in my room after I shot that guy. I don't want to know I'm the one who put that look on your face.
Are you done yet? I ask, tapping my foot and giving him a dirty look because I'm barely keeping my shit under control. He nods, not adding more fuel to the wildfire he's already started. I stalk up to him, pressing my fingers into his chest, letting my fingernails dig into the skin underneath his black t-shirt. Now it's my turn to talk and for you to shut the fuck up. He throws up his hands.
I won't.
I dig a little harder. My turn, Pike. I glare up at him and the corners of his lips twitch. You didn't bring the bad into my life. That was your father's sin, not yours. Stop blaming yourself for shit you couldn't control. He nods, but I keep going because I'm not giving him a second to argue. As for the look on my face, I didn't care that the bastard who wanted to kill you was lying on the floor, blood oozing from his body. He scowls.
You didn't?
I shake my head, twisting my lips. I kept looking at him, imagining what would have happened if your gun hadn't gone off first. How that could have been you lying on that floor, bleeding everywhere, having taken your last breath. I lean forward, dropping my hand and resting my forehead where I've just poked the hell out of him. It would have killed me seeing you like that. Do you know how close you came to dying? His arms wrap around me, one hand flattening on my back.
But I didn't die, Gigi. We lived. We're standing here, under the sun, listening to the birds sing. Just as alive as we were last week, when things were normal. And you were never in danger.
I slide my fingers under his shirt, running my hands along the soft skin at his sides. We're standing here because you made sure I lived to see another day. If it weren't for you, I could be dead right now. He shakes his head.
If it weren't for me, you never would have been in that situation.
Shut up, Pike. I listen to the slow, steady beat of his heart underneath his shirt. I've never told another man besides my father that I loved him. I've had a few boyfriends, not many, but they never got the words from me.
Never?
He asks, as I tip my head up, seeing the shock all over his face. Never. You know why?
Why, darling?
He asks softly. Because they never got me. All they cared about was getting in my pants. Even Eric, my last boyfriend, I never saw forever with. He was nice and all, but he didn't have what it takes to be with me for the long haul. My father and uncles would have chewed him up and spat him out. Hell, if someone would have come after us, I'm pretty sure Eric would have hurled me in front of a bullet to save his own ass. Pike's hands are on my shoulders, pushing me backwards so he can look at me.
That's what I'm talking about. You haven't had any good relationships in your life, babe. You can't compare what we have to those guys. And I use that term loosely. Every man you're with should be willing to die for you because you're his girl. You need to explore, sow those oats, before you decide you want a nobody like me in your bed every night.
Pike, do you really love me? I whisper, gazing up at him, my nail starting to press into his skin because he's beginning to piss me off again.
I do,
he says quickly. Then can you just shut the fuck up and see where this goes? I'm not ready to walk away. I don't want to date someone else. I don't want to find out what good and bad is out there. Because I've already found something good. Someone good. And I don't want to let go, because even if I find someone out there who will love me, they'll never be you. His hands cut my face, and I melt into his touch, wanting more. Always wanting more.
I've never wanted anyone as badly as I want you. I've never felt so at peace with someone as I do you. I've never been surrounded by so much love as I have been with your family, even if they don't like me.
They like you. I wish he'd shut up and kiss me already, but he doesn't.
They're tolerating me, hoping I go away.
Not everyone in that house grew up the way I did. They have pasts and skeletons in their closet, too. It didn't change the way my family feels about them. The gallows judge people on who they are, not what they did or how they grew up. All that matters is that we love one another. The men in my family are protective and overbearing and a little like you. And I know they'll love you and welcome you with open arms when they realize how good we are together.
Gigi.
Pike, just kiss me already. And so help me God, if you try to break my heart again, I'm going to knee you so hard in the balls, you won't be able to sleep with another woman for months. Pike smirks.
I kind of like my balls, babe.
Me too. I smile. Now, you better kiss me, or I'm going to leap into your arms and cause a scene that'll have my dad out here so fast. I don't get the rest of the words out before his mouth crashes down on mine, stealing away the threat I was ready to carry out if necessary. My hands slide behind his neck as I plaster my body to his, kissing him with all the force I can muster on my tiptoes. I've been waiting hours for a moment alone to feel his lips on mine, tongue sliding inside my mouth, giving me his small moans and the warmth of his body. "Don't you ever threaten to leave me again," I murmur into his mouth, needing him to say the words.
"Never again,"
he whispers, pulling back and gazing down at me.
"You're mine now, darling, and I hope you understand what that means."
"I'm hoping it means a lot of dirty shit," I wink, pulling his head down because his lips are looking lonely. "Gigi, Pike, dinner," Nona yells from somewhere in the distance. "Get your bodies untangled and your asses in here." Pike rests his forehead against mine, trying to catch his breath as we both gasp for air. We better go. I know Grandma's still watching and isn't going to go anywhere until we untangle ourselves and start marching our asses toward the house. But we're finishing what we started as soon as we get home.
"Your place or mine?"
he asks, waggling his eyebrows with a playful smirk. "I only have a bed."
"Darling, we only need a wall."
Oh my God. Fuck yes.
Chapter 27. Pike.
"Give me 10 minutes and then come over. I'll leave the front door unlocked because I have a surprise for you."
I can't stop the smile on my face as I lean forward, brushing my lips across hers and squeezing her ass. "What kind of surprise, darling?" She bats her eyelashes, smirking.
"What kind of surprise would it be if I told you?"
"You're a tease." She giggles when my fingers find the bottom edge of her jean shorts and my lips slide down to her neck.
"Hey,"
she says, pushing against my chest.
"If you don't stop doing that, I won't be able to let you out of my sight, and the entire night will be ruined."
"If I fucked you right now, it would ruin the night." She lets out a loud huff.
"Well, no, but I want this time to be special."
"Baby, every time with you is special," I murmur against her skin before running my tongue from her ear to her collarbone. "I don't know if I can wait 10 minutes. She tries to wiggle out of my hold, but I grip her thighs, wanting to sink between them even though we're outside.
"You waited 15 months. I think you'll survive another 10 minutes,
she says, pushing against my chest again.
"Please, Pike."
I loosen my grip, allowing her to put space between us. "Well, since you said please, but get your surprise and come to my place. I have a bed."
"And walls, too."
She winks. "Walls, too, darling."
"Okay, I still need 10 minutes. I'll grab the surprise and be over."
"Perfect." I try to grab her again, wanting to taste her lips or skin, but she isn't having any of it. She backs away, shaking her head.
"No touching."
I raise an eyebrow. "I hope that isn't part of the surprise, because touching is required for what I have in mind."
"There will be touching,"
she says, still moving toward her front door.
"But not until I say so."
"Not until you say so." My mouth falls open, but I'm totally playing. I know this girl, and she doesn't play hard to get. I also know just the right buttons to push to have her begging for more than my touch. There's a wicked gleam in her eyes.
"Of course, I'm the boss."
"Naturally," I tease. "But she is. I learned today that every woman in her family is the boss, too. It doesn't matter how big or tough the man is, his wife has the final say in how things go down. I loved their strength and that their husbands didn't care as long as their women were happy."
"Now go."
She shoos me with one hand and takes her keys out of her back pocket with the other.
"I'll be quick."
I throw up my hands and turn toward my door. I'm going.
"Catch you in 10,
she says before disappearing into her apartment. I step inside my place, flipping on the light and kicking off my boots, thankful as fuck to finally be home and still breathing. I wasn't sure I'd make it back, and after a long-ass day of travel and Gigi's family, I'm happy as shit for a little peace and quiet. I strip off my clothes as I walk toward the bathroom, needing a shower and a reset after all the bullshit that went down the last few days.
I don't waste too much time under the spray because my girl's coming over with a surprise that I'm hoping includes very little clothing and a whole lot of fucking. After a quick wash, I dry off, pulling on a pair of sweatpants and nothing else. I don't see the need when I don't plan on having clothing on my body for very long. I glance at the clock, realizing it's been 10 minutes, but Gigi's nowhere to be found. I press my ear against our adjoining wall, but only hear silence. I wait another minute, pacing a path down my hallway, back and forth between my bedroom and living room. "You coming?" I text her, because I've never been a patient man. I take 5 trips up and down the hallway, turning my phone over in my hand, waiting for her reply, but I get no response. I'm out the door, knocking on hers. "Gigi," I yell, because it's not like her to promise one thing and do another. It isn't like she could lie down and accidentally fall asleep. The girl just moved in and doesn't have any furniture in her place. I try the handle and it's unlocked, but I hesitate for a second because I also don't want to walk in and scare the hell out of her, getting myself kicked in the balls in the process.
"Gigi,"
I yell again, pounding louder this time. And when there's no response, I open the door, figuring a kick in the balls is worth knowing she's okay. My foot connects with something, and it skids across the floor, slamming into the wall. I look over, realizing it's her cell phone, and my heart immediately slams into my chest like a brick.
"Gigi,"
I yell again, but I only get my echo back and not another sound. I frantically look in each room of the tiny space, searching for my girl, but find nothing. My hands are sweating and my heart's beating double time as I push open the door to her bedroom, catching sight of a person's back. A back that isn't Gigi's. I lunge for the man, turning him around, laying eyes on his mask-covered face. His eyes widen, the only part of his face that's visible before I rear back, hurling my fist through the air and connecting with his jaw.
"Pike!"
Gigi screams, and I move my eyes toward her voice. She's in the corner, hands at her neck, huddled in a ball, and tears staining her cheeks. I lay into the man who's staggering in front of me, wailing on him with my fists until he falls to the floor. I kick him in the ribs once, making sure he's out cold before I turn to Gigi, kneeling in front of her. Her eyes are wide, and her cheeks are stained with tears. "Are you okay?" I ask her, lifting her into my lap, checking over her body.
"I'm fine. He was hiding in here when I walked in,"
she says quickly, whimpering at the memory.
Did
he hurt you?" She shakes her head and curls into my chest, gripping onto my t-shirt with her long fingers.
"He put his hand over my mouth and hauled me back here, but he didn't have a chance to hurt me before you showed up."
"I'm so sorry, baby. I should have been here sooner."
"I'm okay,"
she whispers like she's trying to convince herself, or maybe just me. But by the way she's shaking, I'd say she's anything but okay.
"We have to call the police."
"I will in a minute. My priority is making sure she's okay before I let her out of my arms."
"No, Pike, I don't want him waking up and coming after you. My heart can't take anymore,"
she whispers.
"Please."
She crawls out of my lap, staggering, but catching herself on my shoulder.
"I have some packing tape we can use to tie him up."
"You're crafty," I tease, because right now we could use a little lightness in our fucked up world.
"You have no idea,"
she smiles, wiping away the tears from her cheeks.
"I'll grab the tape and you check the guy."
She's out of the room before I have a chance to rise to my feet. "Let's see who you are, motherfucker." I hunch down next to the man's face, staring at the asshole who went after my girl. Gigi's back, holding a roll of packing tape, eyes pinned on the lifeless body on the floor.
"You didn't kill him, did you?"
I shake my head and laugh, reaching for the man's mask. "Darvin, I may be strong, but my punch didn't kill him."
"Thank God,"
she mumbles. When I pull the mask from his face, I'm knocked backward, falling on my ass.
"What's wrong?"
I shake my head, blinking like my brain doesn't believe what my eyes are seeing. "It's my father."
This has been Flame, Men of Inked, Heatwave Book 1, written by Chell Bliss. Narrated by Jason Clark and Samantha Brentmore at Brickshop Audio, Inc. Copyright 2019 by Bliss, Inc. Production copyright 2019 by Bliss, Inc.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.